Okay. Today is February the 8th, 1984. I'm John Heitman, and I'm with Dr. John C. Warner, Jake Warner, at his home in Gibsonia, Pennsylvania. And today we'll be discussing his scientific and administrative career, his education at Indiana, and his career after he retired as president of Carnegie Mellon in 1965. Now, I know you were born in Goshen, Indiana in 1897, but I don't know very much about your parents and your family background. Can you tell me something about your parents? And
well, on the Warner side of the family, I know the family only back as far as my grandfather, William Warner. William Warner came from Germany in 1847 from Saxony, Dresden, Saxony, that later became a part of Germany, unified Germany, to northern Indiana. He was a potter and a farmer. About the same period, the woman who became my grandmother, he married, whose name was Elizabeth Enders, came from Hessen-Darmstadt to northern Indiana to join her brother, who had already migrated to northern Indiana. Well, they didn't know each other before they met in northern Indiana. They were married. They had a family of four boys and one daughter. My father, Elias, was the second son. The daughter was the youngest in the family. His name was Elias.
E-L-I-A-S.
Mm-hmm. Elias. all of these Warner children of grandfather and grandmother had families of their own. Mostly boys. I think only one daughter, and all of those. One daughter had one daughter. Every generation, that generation of grandchildren, I am now the only remaining living one. I think Grandmother Warner came from quite a good family in Hessen-Darmstadt. I think her father was head of the legislative body in Hessen-Darmstadt. And there are a lot of interesting stories about her. She was supposed to have had an affair with the ship captain on the way over and been appeared very well to do because she had 20 pair of shoes.
That was well to do for those days.
She was a grandfather Warner died before I ever knew him. Grandmother Warner I knew and loved. She was a very good-humored person.
And she lived in Goshen?
No, she lived at Napanee, Indiana, which is another northern Indiana town. With her, all the time I knew her, she lived with her daughter. Well, she was, you can strike out some of this stuff. She was the person that first got me high on beer.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, that's for sure.
She was delightful. My father married into the Plank family, P-L-A-N-K, some of them spell it P-L-A-N-C-K. Mm-hmm. That's the other side of my family. They were Their history that I know about went back one generation more than the Warner side. That side of the family that we know best was the grandmother Plank's family, which was Mahl, M-E-H-L was the name of the family. They were primarily a mixture of English and Pennsylvania Dutch that came from Pennsylvania into Ohio and then into northern Indiana. The Mahl family was a tremendous family. They had 15 children that grew to adulthood and had children, families of their own.
Were they Catholic or
no? No, they were actually Mennonites in the church they belonged to, when they were in Indiana. I know one of their boys was a Mennonite preacher. He's the one that I was named after. Mm-hmm. He was John Christian Mahl. He was one of my mother's favorite uncles, and so she named me John Christian Warner.
Now, your mother was a country school teacher, wasn't she?
Yeah, well, she was one of the daughters of this Mahl family. His name, the old patriarch, great-grandfather, Mahl, was Christian Mahl. I don't know anything about his wife, but they had quite a mixture of boys and girls, and one of the girls was named Lydia, and she was my grandmother, my mother's mother.
Mm-hmm.
She was the Mahl girl, that's funny, who married the Plank. A fellow by the name of Plank, John Plank. He was, the Planks were supposedly French Huguenots that settled first around eastern Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
and then moved west. He was a combination carpenter and farmer. They had, three or four. But four daughters and only one son.
Kind of the reverse of the Warner.
Evening up the sexes, I guess. But anyway, my mother was the second daughter, she would normally have been very eager to get an education. The result, in education, she graduated from grade school, I guess it was, and then went to a normal school. I think she only had to go to a normal school for 6 months, and then became a country school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And from all I remember about it, she must have been an excellent teacher, an excellent and very bright.
And this was in the 1890s or so? Or?
Well, let's see. She was, I was born after she was teaching school. She taught school and got married, and I was the second of her children. And I was born in 97, so she must have been teaching school. She had an older son. I was the second one. So I've forgotten just when she was married. It was must have been in the 80s, 1880s, that she was teaching school, somewhere along there. I think she taught school for only 2 years before she was married. She married the second son of grandfather William Warner,
mm-hmm.
Elias Warner. There was a William Warner, one of my dad's brothers. See, so the William Warner name goes down. I have a son whose name was William Warner. Right. I have a grandson whose name is William Warner.
Yeah, it's quite a long through the generations. It's four generations now.
And Father in general was, he didn't have anything but a grade school education, and he had that to describe him best as a farmer and a lumberman. He was a lumberman every winter and a farmer almost every summer.
How big of a farm did you all have?
We didn't have one. He was a tenant farmer.
Mm-hmm.
Dad died when I was 8 years old. And my mother and he had been married just 14 years when he died. He died of pneumonia. We didn't know how to cure it then.
Mm-hmm.
But he also, I guess one whole summer, he didn't farm either. There was a hardwood lumber company, Sanders Egbert Company, and it had plants in Goshen, Indiana, and one in South Bend, Indiana. They made all kinds of building lumber, hardwood lumber, and they bought pines also. But they would go up into Wisconsin and northern Michigan and buy a stand of timber, and rough saw it out, and then ship it down to these plants where they'd make things, even veneer.
Mm-hmm.
And Dad would work for them in the wintertime. And one year, he went into one of these stands that they had bought in Wisconsin, upper central Wisconsin, and put in a rough sawmill to take out this stand of timber and ship it down. So that year he didn't do any farming at all. It's interesting that his first bout with pneumonia was a result of that. One of his workmen fell into a river in the wintertime and he jumped in to save the guy, and he wound up with pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
In the following two winters he had pneumonia and finally died.
Mm-hmm. So you all had it, when you were young, you had it very hard then, in the sense of...
We were very poor, very poor.
How did you all get money
my eldest brother, who died just a couple months ago, about 6 months ago, went to work right after Dad's death, before and after school, and in the summertime. I remember we worked the first summer after Dad died. He died in April. And that summer we were loaned out as slave labor to an uncle, a brother, weeding onions and celery and stuff like that.
Really, farm labor.
Yeah. And then from there on, I was always working before and after school. Or when Dad died, what he left was 10 acres of a pretty poor land right across the highway from Grandfather's Plank's farm. Grandfather Plank and Grandmother Plank had a farm of 110 acres. And right across the highway, my dad had bought 10 acres. I don't know what he had planned to do with it. It wasn't good for much of anything except raising strawberries and things like that. It was pretty sandy. When Dad died, my mother was pregnant with her only daughter. She was born a month after Dad died, so you can see what kind of a family we had. I had three brothers.
And you were second?
I was the second one. And after me, there were two more boys, and then finally the daughter, who didn't live past, I think she was 6 or 7 years old when she died of spinal meningitis. The boys, we all grew up to adulthood and married and had families of our own. They're all gone now. I'm the only one left.
What What did your brothers do? Now, there was, what, William?
Finally, when grandfather died, but he was in his 70s, maybe 80, I don't know. And he died within a year of the time my father died. My grandmother thought she could run the farm by hiring help. She was a pretty difficult person to get along with, I might say. She was a very bossy, arrogant sort of old girl. And she never had anyone that she hired to help run the farm that would stay with her very long, you see. So when Dad died, my older brother would be 10. By the time he was around 13 or 14, she gave up and got him to start running a farm for her.
So he ran the plank farm.
He ran the plank
farm. And your plot as well.
And my mother, in the meantime, had built a cottage on this 10 acres of land across the highway, you see. Then finally, grandmother decided that my brother, well, he was a great big fella. He was over 6 feet tall and just as broad as I am, you know. So everyone thought my brother, his name was a strange one, D-E, capital M-A-I-N, Demain. I don't know how my mother ever thought that one up. But anyway, Demain was a hard-working, strong guy. And he had learned how to get along with her pretty well. I think she did him dirt often and often. She'd always get him to do things for her, but saying, "You'll be rewarded someday," you know. And I think when she died, she left in her will, left him $100.
That was his reward.
Well, anyway, before she died, almost 5 years before she died, she decided that the man could run the farm by himself, and she built a house in town in Goshen and moved into that. And then my mother and the rest of the whole family, the old farm, became our home. I've forgotten. There was about the time, it must have been about the time I started high school. Mm-hmm. It may have been the year before I started high school. My education up to high school was all in one-room country schools.
Did you have any interest in science during these early years on the farm, or was it pretty much just survival and learn what you can?
Well, it was a struggle for survival, really, in a way. I think my interest in science started really when I started high school. Mm-hmm. A farm boy learns to do all kinds of things, you know.
Yeah. Did you have any contact with, like, county agriculture agents? And
I didn't. My brother did. Yeah. Well, I would work. See, this farm of grandfather's, I was born on a farm about 5 miles east of Goshen. My father then was a tenant farmer for one of my mother's uncles, a lawyer in town, one of the males. Mm-hmm. He was a lawyer, but he owned a farm out about 5 miles east, and my father's apartment for him, and that's where I was born, on that farm. When father died, he was had a farm that he was rented about a couple of miles closer to town than that. But then when father died, and we built this cottage across the highway, and we started farming grandfather's farm, the old farmhouse, the farm became our home. And I was, I think it was probably about the year that, yeah, I think I went to country school 1 year more after we moved into the grandfather's farm. But there was just one farm between that farm and the city limits line of Goshen. And the 10 acres across the highway was right next to the, because the residential development of Goshen had come a little farther on that side of the highway, so that this 10 acres was the first open land outside of the city limits. Well, this was not very far to high school. I rode a bike to high school all the time. Let's see, I could.
And it's really in high school that you really get your interest in science
I
and
think
chemistry,
so, yeah. As I remember.
And who was, you mentioned earlier, a very important high school teacher? That,
yes.
Do you remember his name?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, well, you can tell me about him as well. I had a similar experience as well with a high school chemistry.
His name was G.W. Warner, no relative of mine. I think I put that picture in here thinking that you'd probably want to see it. Here, T.W. Warner and J.C. Warner in front of Goshen High School.
Oh, yes. He was very young himself as a teacher, wasn't he?
Well, I thought he was pretty mature.
He doesn't look like he's older than 25 or so in this
picture.
Oh,
he's older than that.
Yeah. Is he?
He's an Indiana University graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's old Goshen High School back, I was.
Yes, I see that.
He was so encouraging that in the wintertime, if I had time on Saturday, if there wasn't much farm work to do, you know, I'd come in to the high school to do extra experiments in physics and chemistry. He'd come over from his home to be with me while I was doing it. He'd go to that bother.
Yeah, right.
And I had done, I had really had more interest in physics than chemistry at that time. And I think I really made up my mind to major in chemistry when I went to Indiana because, as far as I could tell, you had a better chance of getting a good job in chemistry than you had in physics.
Certainly at that time.
At that time, about the only outlet for physics graduates was academics.
Do you remember any of the experiments that you did in high school?
I did almost everything that they do in the first year physics course in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I had them all together in a sort of a mimeograph.
The binder?
Binder. I had designed and drawn a cover for it, I remember. Which was supposed to, he suggested that I, on the cover, try to illustrate all the different sections or divisions of physics, you know, light and heat and mechanics and so on. I took that along with me to Indiana at his suggestion, and I didn't do any freshman physics lab. They let me go ahead and do advanced physics lab work.
Did this high school teacher, and again his name is Warner, what was his first name?
It's George Washington, I'm sure.
George
Everybody
Washington,
just called him G.W.
Did he encourage other students besides yourself that you know of, or were you pretty much an exception?
I think I was pretty much an exception. I can't think now of any other kids from my high school that went on in science.
Did
I tell you what, another thing interesting about him, G.W., a few years after I was there, I think I was still at Indiana, either as an undergraduate or a graduate student, when he left Goshen High School to become head of science in the system of Chicago Junior Colleges.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Morton Jr., there was a whole series.
Oh, yeah.
And he was head of science in all of those junior colleges, and he started a magazine for high school science and math teachers called School Science and Mathematics.
So he was a very dynamic person.
Yeah,
very.
And I have a copy of that in there. Because he kept following my career, you know, and I think twice.
Now, I was going to ask you that. Did you go back and see him from time to time?
Yeah, and he stopped once here in Pittsburgh. He'd been to some meeting in the East, and so he visited me once here, and I used to see him back in Indiana once in a while. And he invited me two times to write little articles for his magazine.
I wonder if he ever dreamt that someone that he taught high school physics experiments back in Goshen High would ever go on and become a president of a major university.
Well, he of course has been correspondence with me all these years, and he was delighted when he
I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, that's I have a copy of a magazine, and I'll show it to you.
I was going to ask, I guess it was in part Warner's G.W. Warner's influence upon you that had you go to Indiana University.
Was that part
of the reason?
I don't know how much stuff you're interested in. What I really wanted to do was to go to Swarthmore. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't figure out any way under the sun that I could afford it. I think, as far as my career, I'd have been off to a much earlier start in my scientific career if I'd gone somewhere like Swarthmore. Mm-hmm. Then to, say, to Harvard or someplace like that as a graduate student. We haven't gotten to my views about Indiana University yet.
We're getting close there. Anyway, yeah. So at any rate, you enrolled in Indiana University, around
1915.
And what was your first impression of the school when you got there as a freshman, coming from really a farm community and then and going to Bloomington?
Well, for one thing, I had a good English teacher in high school, Harlan Henney, who went back to Indiana University the same year I went as a freshman. He went back as a graduate student. His intention was to become a professor of English.
Yenny, how do you spell
it? Y-E-N-N-E. Mm-hmm. Harlan Yenny. His father was a superintendent of schools at Washington, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
That's a southern Indiana town. I didn't know it at the time, but he had fallen in love with a girl in my high school class. Kept on courting her, apparently. But he went back at the same time that I did as a freshman, and I, of course, joined his fraternity.
What fraternity was that?
Huh?
What fraternity was that?
Delta Upsilon. And it did a good job of taking a green country lad and making him a pretty sophisticated guy socially before he got through.
Mm-hmm.
Well, pretty rapidly, I would say. Anyway, I found Indiana University my freshman year nonsensically easy. God, I didn't have to, it was just mostly a repetition of what I had in high school.
Did you have other activities that you began to pursue during those years as well? Did you have any athletic interests?
I played football.
On Indiana University? So.
Yeah, but I was sort of a third string halfback.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I was motivated more by doing something to evade physical education. So I went out for football, both in fall practice and spring practice.
Mm-hmm.
And in between, I went out for wrestling. So I never had to take a physical education course, which I despised.
What was your impression of Indiana? Was pretty much it was a backward place in the sense of science and mathematics and the like.
I'll tell you more about it. But before that, I think there's another man that had a good bit of influence on my career, and that was Mr. Harry Sanders of the Sanders Egbert Company.
Mm-hmm. So that was the timber company.
Timber, yeah. My father, the firm that my father had worked for in the wintertime. When I was a senior, if this had happened a little earlier, I think I would have gone to Swarthmore. I had already up my mind, I guess I made an application to Indiana because I thought that's where I had to go. But the principal called me in and said that Mr. Sanders would like me to come to his office. Well, he was supposed to be the richest man in Goshen. And I wondered what in the heck this is all about. Well, I went to him, and Mr. Sanders essentially said, "Now look, J.C., they called me J.C., I've followed you through your work through high school, and you've done exceptionally well. And I want to be sure that you go on to college. And if you need," and he asked me where I had planned to go, and I told him, of course, I'm at Indiana University. He said, "Well, I want you to go, and if you get hard up, you write me like you would write to your dad if he were alive. He worked for us. He was a dandy man. He did a lot of good work for us, and I want to help you." Well, I got from Mr. Sanders in my whole time at Indiana, undergraduate, in the first and second years, the only time I got money from him, and I think a total of $325.
That's a lot of money in those days.
A lot of money in those days. But by that time, by the time I was a junior, I was already making my way as a lab assistant in chemistry. So I didn't need to ask him for any more help.
But certainly he was around.
He was around. He and his wife, they moved later.
Were they